Joe Crummy's Evil Thoughts. Great to be with me on a Friday. How are you? All right, excellent. Just assume you're fine. Ever do that with somebody where they go, how are you? And you go, I'm not that well or whatever. And you can tell they don't want to know. So I always say, I could be dying. And somebody gets, how are you doing? I'm going, I'm fine. All right. If you asked me the biggest story of the week, I would say media bias. I want to talk about media bias on the podcast today just for fun. Did you know that before we get to O'Reilly and all that kind of stuff, we've already devoted two of the last podcasts to Bill O'Reilly, but there are other things in the news that relate to that. Did you see the story about the New England Patriots going to see President Trump at the White House? And there was controversy about that immediately. It wasn't huge or anything, but it does speak to the notion of media bias, because I talk about it all the time. There's a guy that is a sports editor for the New York Times. His name is Jason Stolman. And he tweeted a picture of the New England Patriots team at the White House and compared it to one when they went to go see Barack Obama. As you know, the Patriots win, every 5 minutes. So you can know there's always plenty of pictures. And he stuck up the two pictures, one of the Patriots team that was there visiting President Obama, and another one where they were there just this week with President Trump. And he did the same thing they did at the president's inauguration. They compare the size of the crowd of the Patriots organization that was there. And Jason Stolman went right on Twitter, and he said, you know, look at the difference. And the insinuation is that the Patriots hate the president, and the president isn't really the president, and he's very unpopular, and that he's a racist, most likely, and that's why, and a homophobe and misogynistic. This is the left's meme, right? I mean, it's what they do. And he stuck it up there, and he thought, you know, okay, this is great. Then what happened was it became obvious. And I saw it, and I went, whatever, you know, okay. And then this morning, I'm getting ready to prep to be on Doug Steffen's show, Good Day, or With Doug, and I'm looking at this. It's 4:45, and I'm trying to get the studio together, and I'm going, oh, my God. You know, Stolman has had to take it back now, because what had happened was it wasn't really an analogous situation. In the picture that was taken most recently, a number of the Patriots staff were not, they were seated on the lawn. They weren't in the same frame that they were with Obama. In other words, with Obama, they had everybody squished into one area. With Trump, they took a picture on the steps as well, but they had other people that were sitting around the side. So you had the same amount of people that were there. And even the Patriots came out and said that Jason Stolman from the Times was wrong. So he was caught flat-footed. But this is where the media bias comes in. So he knows he's caught. And what caught my eye this morning was his response. You know, and he comes out and he goes, you know, I've been corrected by the Patriots themselves and, you know, the White House. He may have mentioned them, and of course, to people like Jason Stolman on the New York Times, the White House has no credibility anyway. But when the Patriots came out and said, you're wrong, okay, well, you know, then he comes out and says, you know what? I was wrong. I'm going to own this, he says, and I have no excuse, but I'm just an idiot. And I was wrong, and I'm owning it. And I'm sure a lot of people think, oh, that's great. I mean, he's really come out and owned it, and he called himself an idiot. Isn't that great? Because he was wrong. And I'm reading it, and I'm thinking, oh my God, I'm telling you, media bias, and this is where I'm going with this, is one of the biggest stories in the United States, and it is not being told. You see, what Jason Stolman did, everything, oh, I'm an idiot, but what he did not say is, I did it because I'm biased. I have a political agenda. I was trying to make the president look bad, and he doesn't admit that. See, that's what I think is really fascinating about this. Yes, I'm an idiot, and you caught me, and I'm going to own it. It's my responsibility. And I'm thinking, yeah? Why did you do it? You did it because you thought you could make the president look bad, because you and the entire New York Times, by the way, and by extension, as far as I'm concerned, have a bias. That's why you did it. Not because you're an idiot. You didn't do it. See, this is the lie. It's not because you're an idiot that you did it. You did it because you're biased. That's why you did it, Mr. Stolman. So don't sit there and say you did it because you're an idiot. You did it because you're biased, Maybe you're a biased idiot, but you're biased. And I just think that's fascinating. I guess I'm onto the whole thing about media and bias in the United States for a number of reasons, because I was exposing the real reasons behind why O'Reilly went down, right? I mean, I got into a big fight yesterday with somebody at the, was it the LA Times website or their Facebook page or whatever it is. I post links all around the country to what we're talking about here. And some guy was, he didn't quite get it. He was going, let me ask you a simple question. I go, oh, God. Are you you excusing Bill O'Reilly's sexual harassment? And I'm thinking, God, are you taking stupid pills? What I'm saying is that O'Reilly was brought down by an orchestrated effort to put pressure on his advertisers, fueled by leftist money from Democratic donors. Hello? And the media isn't going to talk about that. I don't have a problem with going after sexual harassers. Yeah, I don't have a problem with that. But people think, what? You know, and I'm saying, no, the reason why he went down is you had 80 advertisers who were, let's just say, what was the word that we were talking about yesterday? Educated by Media Matters, who get their money from Democratic fundraisers. We were talking about that yesterday. And what the media wants you to conclude, see, this is about the bias, that it's just merely a grassroots effort by concerned moms and pops across the country when there's this huge political component to the takedown that they don't want to see. They don't want to see it. They don't want you to see it. They don't recognize it, or maybe they do, but they sure as hell don't want you to know about it. And so when you have Jason Stallman, you know, who's going out of his way to make the president look bad, you know, oh, I'm an idiot. No, that's not what you are. You are biased. You are posing as a journalist, and you're not, and you have a political agenda, but you won't admit it. See, I think that's a huge issue. It's one of the reasons, as I say, I like watching CNN. This week, you know, they got all excited because, what was it, Tuesday or Wednesday, they had that, that election in Georgia for a House seat, and they'd spent $8.5 million to get it, and they, at noon that day, they thought they had it, and I would watch CNN and listen to my liberal friends on Facebook, which I like to do because it really makes me think about my positions. Am I right? Am I saying something? Do they have a good point that I should be thinking about? And if so, what is it, and all of that. So I like to listen to the liberal shows, and that's why I like CNN, but they're kind of funny to watch because they were all excited. They really thought they were going to beat Trump. I mean, that's what that was about. They thought that they could get a Democrat to beat the Republicans in Georgia, and that was some sort of a bellwether or the canary in the coal mine. I don't know if that's the right analogy here, but that was going to be a sign that Trump is going down in the midterm elections, and this was a referendum on Trump. And the only reason why they said that is they thought they were going to win. So they raised the bar, they raised the expectations, and all afternoon long they were, you know, really excited. They couldn't contain themselves. And then what happened? They lost. And it's amazing to watch them pivot. And lately, as you know, they need the oxygen once they get the air kicked out of them on something like that, because they raise their get so excited, and then the numbers come in and they just lose, and they don't know what to do. So they pivot immediately to, you know, Trump and Russia or whatever. They need to go somewhere for oxygen. They don't know what it is. And the Russia thing, by the way, have you noticed that's going nowhere fast? That Russia thing with the president, think about this. The left had you convinced that the president committed treason, that he was in bed with Vladimir Putin and all that kind of stuff. And that's going nowhere fast. And so they're running out of things. They're always going to come up with something. But it brings me to my next topic. It's Ann Coulter, who you probably know who she is. She's one of these right-wingers, and she's a Serbic. What was the quote she had yesterday? She said, if you don't want to get killed by a terrorist, this is the quote that really makes people freak out. She said, if you don't want to get killed by a terrorist, she said, don't go to Syria. She says, if you don't want to get killed by a Mexican, I don't know what to tell you. And, of course, I'm sure the left hates that because, oh, it's so racist against Mexicans, this and that. But all she's really meaning is that we have no immigration policy in the United States. And you're going to have Mexicans going to come across the border, and let's face it, you have, what, at least 11, 12 million Mexican illegal immigrants in the United States, and neither party's really done an awful lot about it over the last 35 years, and so she's a servant. Well, she was supposed to be speaking up at Berkeley on April 27th, and they said, you know, well, we'd like you to come, but, you know, there's going to be so much violence. We just, you know, I'm sorry, we can't do it. And the thing is, the people that are creating the violence at these events are the leftist people that are you know, trying to shut down her speech. I mean, she's not a hate speech kind of person. She's acerbic, and she has a point of view, but that she can't even speak at Berkeley. And the irony there is that Berkeley is supposedly the birthplace of free speech movement, whatever that was back in the 60s. I'm sure it had something to do with pot, sex, and probably getting out of the Vietnam War. And it was probably time for some of this discussion back in 1965. I'm sure it was. And so they were all excited. It's free speech and all that. Unless, of course, it's 2017 and it's speech they don't like, and then it's time to shut it down. As a matter of fact, the people that are shutting it down, I think, are referring to themselves as what the anti-fascists, which is, there's more deep irony there. In other words, what? You call the other people hate speech and evil and bad, and that allows you to shut them down because you don't agree with them. I think it makes you the fascist, and they're calling themselves the anti-fascists, and I'm just going, oh, my God. I mean, we're upside down in this movie. Let's move on. Now, in France, we have a big thing. Here's the deal. In France, there is an election this weekend in France. There is a right-wing kind of lady that's, her name is Marine Le Pen. And as you know, there was a terror attack yesterday right on the Champs-Élysées, which is their main sort of main drag in Paris. It's a very foo-foo nice area. And you had, I think there are 11 candidates running for president of France. And while they were debating nearby, some guy walks up to a traffic cop, for God's sakes, and puts a bullet in his head. And he's one of these Allah Akbar kind of guys. And he ended up getting shot and all this kind of stuff. But this is precisely the kind of thing that is going to put this right-wing lady in France, Marine Le Pen. She's one of these, hey, we need to establish some borders here. We've gone too far with allowing all kinds of people into the country. They aren't assimilating, whatever it is. We've had about enough of this stuff. Now, she may win on Sunday, but there are 11 people running. And the way they do it in France is if nobody gets the 51%, which is the way it was supposed to go in Georgia, by the way, for the Democrats. If they could get 30 guys, get 51%, but it didn't happen that way. In France, if you get 51% on the first ballot, you win. I think the thing to watch for on Saturday, is this woman going to get the 51%? They say that she's not going to, but you gotta wonder whether she gets it. The thing to look for, does she get it on the first ballot, which would be Sunday? And if she doesn't, then what they do is they take the top two people and then wait a month or so and do a runoff election on, I think it's May 2nd. But the thing to look for over the weekend is on Sunday, what goes down in Paris? Does it happen or not? And one other thing about the media bias, and we'll get back to that in just a second, because it's something that doesn't get reported. And to me, I think that's one of the biggest issues in the United States. We double back to the case of Jason Stallman, who, you know, admits, oh, I'm an idiot, but he won't admit that he's, you know, he's biased. Or Ann Coulter, the people that are trying to shut her down, they're the fascists, but, you know, we can't admit that to ourselves. And then you've got this thing in France where people are reacting, having forbidden reactions to immigration, and they want to, they're more concerned now about their culture. And you're not allowed to be, right? We have to be sort of very, what's the word on culture? All cultures are supposed to be equal, and they're really not. You know, there's a difference between races and cultures. We want to believe, and I think it's true, that all races are equal as far as I can see, but not all cultures are. And the left doesn't want you to have that conversation. They don't want you to make that distinction for some reason. I don't know what it is. The other thing I was going to say is that was the takedown on the O'Reilly thing has a huge leftist component to it, and yet we're not allowed to talk about it. So these are all things that are in the mix on a Friday. And one other thing that I want to mention, you're not going to hear a lot of talk about this. And I'm not even a big Republican, but the Republican National Committee has just announced that they raised a record $41.5 million in the first quarter of 2017. And that bodes well, I suppose, for midterm elections coming up on in what, 2018, or the campaigns that are going to start next year in 2017. But you're not going to hear much about that, because you're supposed to believe that Republicans, hate Trump, and there's, he's incredibly unpopular and nobody likes him and all that kind of stuff. I think these people are living in a bubble, and it's this weird echo chamber. And what happens is they get a bump from, bang, from reality every once in a while, and they're so faked out. That's what I like seeing on TV. That's, to me, that's entertainment. I know I need to get a life, but hey. These are my evil thoughts. I want you to rate this podcast on iTunes. Would you do that for me? Rate this podcast on iTunes and tell a friend, too. That it's growing, and I really like the idea. I see the numbers all the time going up, so I appreciate that. Follow me on Facebook. It's Joe Crummy. Also on Twitter and on Instagram. I got a real funny video up there with me in a fish tank. You want to go see that. So follow me on Instagram as Crummy Joe. And those are my evil thoughts. Have a great weekend.